George Washington has been called the indispensable man. He commanded the American Revolution and guided the young nation as its first president. He owned and operated a large plantation on the shore of the Potomac, Mount Vernon. And it turns out, George Washington also made a pretty fair bottle of whiskey. NPR's Brian Naylor reports.
If they travel a few miles up the road from the main entrance to Mount Vernon, intrepid visitors will come across George Washington's grist mill. The handsome sandstone building was reconstructed in the 1930s. Inside, the wooden works of the mill were painstakingly rebuilt just a few years ago. The mill turned out flour from grains grown on Mount Vernon's farms. Washington had a lot of crops under cultivation, some 3,500 acres, and in 1797, his new plantation manager, a Scotsman named James Anderson, suggested another use for some of that grain, whiskey.
Washington, of course, was, I think, game for almost anything that would make money. He was a very savvy businessman.
Esther White is director of archaeology at Mount Vernon.
But he was a little bit wary of going into the distillery business, and Anderson finally convinced him when he mentioned that the livestock that was kept at Mount Vernon would increase, that they could keep a lot more pigs and cows eating the waste from the distillery process.
White stands next to a large rectangular plot adjacent to the grist mill, where about a dozen archaeologists are scraping away at the soil with trowels, looking for clues that would reveal some of the hidden details of the distillery operation. Washington died just 2 years after the distillery was built. It was passed down to a nephew, but by 1815 it had been abandoned and dismantled. All that remains visible now is the foundation and part of the floor. Eleanor Breen, the enthusiastic assistant archaeologist, says the dig has yielded some of the distillery's secrets.
This is actually soil that's been so burned that it's actually turned red. So that's how we know that there was some sort of fire going on in this area. This is one of the probable locations of where the stills would have been heated to evaporate off the alcohol off the grain. So we think that we've got one of these features here. And then if I hop over here, this seems to be a very nicely laid brick floor. So from this evidence, we know that some part of the building the floor is covered with brick. Just abutting this brick pad or this brick floor is a very rough sandstone and cobble laid floor that starts right here and kind of extends in back of you over in that direction. That is a very hard surface to walk on, even in tennis shoes.
The speculation among the archaeologists is that there may have been a wooden floor over the rough stones, or that perhaps they indicate a storage area. After it's scraped up, the soil is put in a wheelbarrow and dumped into a sifting screen. The archaeologists run the soil through their gloved hands, looking for anything interesting.
This is more sandstone. And then just, you know, tons of little tiny pieces of bricks, and here's a little bit of oyster shell, and apparently not any other artifacts in this batch.
I asked Esther White whether they found many artifacts.
No. Depends on how you define artifact. We've got lots and lots of architectural materials, things like brick and nails and window glass. We haven't gotten a lot of domestic artifacts, things like ceramics and glass, tobacco pipes, buttons, things like that. So on the one hand, yes, we find a lot of things, but because we don't think there were a lot of people living down here, we don't find many of the remains of just daily life that went on.
It's thought that Anderson's son, who was the chief distiller, may have lived in a loft at the distillery, along with six enslaved men known to have helped tend the works. There were believed to have been five copper stills inside the building. The product was sold to neighboring farmers and later in the nearby town of Alexandria.
What most distillers have told us is that it would taste a lot like moonshine or white lightning. So I kind of leave that up to you if you'd know what that tasted like.
Not me.
Not me.
Records show Washington sold 11,000 gallons of whiskey in 1799, earning $7,500, a tidy sum at the time. The Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., a trade organization of alcoholic beverage producers, has been funding the dig to the tune of some $1.2 million. James Rees, executive director of Mount Vernon, says the contribution is the latest in a long line of corporate donations to Mount Vernon, which receives no federal or state funding.
Henry Ford toured here and gave us our first fire engine. The Carrier Company gave us our first air conditioning system. Thomas Edison put in the first electrical system. And I think what the distilled spirits industry is doing now kind of follows that lead.
Rees has been on a mission to make Washington relevant to a generation of Americans no longer taught much about him. The concept of Washington as early American distiller and entrepreneur fits nicely into that campaign.
He had a fishing industry where he caught 1.3 million fish in 6 weeks. Sounds unbelievable, but it's true. He was one of the first farmers to move away from tobacco to wheat, and his grist mill was absolutely cutting edge. And the distillery fits right into that formula. It shows that Washington was like a scientist in a laboratory here, always trying to create a better business for America.
If all goes well, the archaeologists will finish up their work at the distillery site in November. Historians are already in the process of drawing up plans of what a restored distillery will look like. Eventually, the facility will be rebuilt, complete with working copper stills. But don't expect to find a bottle of Old Founding Father on liquor store shelves anytime soon. Brian Naylor, NPR News.